Well, this evening, we are going to continue and finish our series that we have been working through the last couple of weeks called Succeeding on God's Team. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've looked at the soldier. And last weekend, of course, we had our panel of athletes up here. And tonight, we are going to be looking at the hardworking farmer. The hardworking farmer. So if you've got your Bibles, how about we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. There we go. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll start from verse 3. Before we read that, actually, did you guys hear recently about the scarecrow who won a Nobel Peace Prize? Did you hear about that? Yeah, he won it because he was outstanding in his field. Come on, come on. Farming, we're talking farming. It looks like a barn up here. I'm glad these pallets are still up here. We're talking farming. I'm just trying to channel my inner Pastor Rob. Actually, I was reading during the week in the newspaper an article about a farmer who had lost his favorite cow. And do you know what he did to find her? He tracked her down. And there's the second wave. I know what you're talking about now, about the second wave. Lord, help me. Please forgive me for my humor. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules." And verse 6, "The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops." The hard-working farmer, that's the verse we're going to concentrate on tonight. Now, I am part of Gen Y. I'm a proud Gen Yer. And if any of you are born between roughly the years early 80s to the late 90s, you too are in the same boat with me. We are Gen Y. I should be looking over here. Gen Y. Now, our generation, it's a fantastic generation to be a part of. But you see, our generation has been labeled a few different things. And one of the labels that we have been given is we've been called a soft generation. A soft generation, yeah. Now, young adults, listen up, because I believe that we can make a change to this label. We can change culture, and we can start right here in Bayside Church. I was reading an article during the week out of Elite Daily Magazine, and this is a Gen Yer talking about my own generation. And he says this. He says, "We are the most babied generation in history. And it is apparent in both our work ethic and our outlook on life. We expect things to be hand-delivered to us, and we love attention and praise for just doing what is required of us. We're spoon-fed by our parents. We don't take constructive criticism well. We feel a sense of entitlement, as if the world owes us something. We look for the easy way out, and we wait until the last minute to get things done or make a decision." Parents with Gen Ys, do you relate to this at all? It's interesting, a soft generation. I was talking a little while ago to a landscape gardener who runs his own landscape gardening business. And he was telling me some of the frustrations he found in working life. And one of his major frustrations was that he would employ apprentices. And within, no joke, 2 or 3 weeks, the apprentice was gone. He said there were so many different apprentices out there wanting work, but as soon as they signed up and they started working for maybe a week or 2 or 3, they realized how much hard work landscape gardening was, and whoosh, they were through, they were gone. And that was a real frustration and a real struggle for him in his business. But you see, to succeed on God's team, we as Christians are called to work hard in all aspects of our life. You see, it takes hard work to run your own business. And anyone who has their own business will understand that. It takes hard work to do that. It takes hard work to stay focused in university. You know, these days, to finish a university course can sometimes be the minority. Why? Because it takes hard work to keep pressing on and pressing on until you finish that course. It takes hard work to save enough money for your first home deposit. It takes hard work. And parents, I'm sure you'll agree that it takes hard work to raise your kids. It also takes hard work to live a life of faith. It takes hard work. You see, I believe that we as Christians are not immune to hard work. In fact, I believe that we are called to hard work in our lives. And I love what Chelsea was saying before about contributing here at the end of the service. You can sign up on one of the desks at the end. And why not do some hard work if you're not already right here in church in Bayside? Get your hands dirty, as it were, in working hard for Bayside Church and for God. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon talks a lot about work ethic. And in a number of verses, he compares the work ethic of an ant to that of a sluggard or a sloth. Now, I just want to read some of these. There's a lot of verses in Proverbs. We'll just touch on a couple tonight. So this is out of Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6 to 11. And I'm going to read from the Message Bible, and it should come up on the screen behind me. It's titled, A Lesson from the Ant. What can we learn from the ant? Verse 6, Solomon says, You lazy fool, look at the ant. Watch it closely. Let it teach you a thing or two. Nobody has to tell it what to do. All summer, it stores up food. At harvest, it stockpiles provisions. So how long are you going to laze around doing nothing? How long before you get out of bed? A nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there. Sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life, poverty, your permanent house guest. Tell us what you really think, King Solomon. That's pretty full on. Out of Proverbs 14 and verse 23, he says, All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Wow. In Proverbs 20 and verse 4, and again out of the Message translation, he says, A farmer too lazy to plant in the spring has nothing to harvest in the fall. You see, farmers work hard. Farmers work hard. Now, the closest thing that we have got in my family to a farmer is my grandpa. Now, my grandpa is an amazing man of God. He's brought his whole family up in the way of the Lord, and I'm so forever grateful to him for that. And he's still alive today, but back many, many years ago in his younger age, Grandpa was a market gardener. So he was out on the fields and he grew vegetables for a living. And you see, the interesting thing, I want to tell you a little bit about Grandpa's story. For those of you who live up, he had a market garden just up the road from here, up in Hyatt. If anyone lives off Hyatt Road in Hyatt, around the streets of Nickel Street, Albert Street, Burke Crescent, Grandpa had 30 acres of market garden up there. So as a side note, if you wonder why your garden grows well, if things just grow well in that Hyatt area, it's because before you, Grandpa and many others were out there working and working and working in that soil to make it work well for the next generations. That could be a sermon right there. Preparing the soil for the next generation. Amen. But you see, my grandpa, he had his 30 acres, and I had a good chat to him last week. And the thing about hard work, Grandpa knew what it was to work hard. You see, he had to complete his jobs on the farm because if he didn't, his family would suffer. You see, it was a family-run business that they were involved in. And if they didn't work hard all day, plowing and sowing and tending to the fields and weeding and harvesting and reaping, well, then the money wouldn't come in to the family. You see, in all weather, Grandpa's got some amazing stories. In all weather, he was out in the fields working hard. Torrential rain, he was out there working hard, providing for his family. I remember some stories that he told me during winter and the frosts, all the ice on the ground. Can you imagine working in a field with your bare hands, freezing, barely able to move your fingers? It's that cold. Yet he was out there day after day. Grandpa knew what it was to work hard for his family on a day like today, the big northerly wind blowing through and the heat and exhaustion that he faced. He reminded me this week as I was talking to him, he said that market days were especially hard. And the reason for that was they started work at 3 a.m. in the fields on market day. So we'd be out in the field at 3 a.m., rain, hail, or shine, preparing the crops, taking them in from the fields into the storehouse, and then loading up the truck to get into the market. You see, they had to be in the city and ready and unpacked by 6 a.m. for the market to start. And we've got a couple of photos. If we can put these up on the screen behind me, please. I've got a couple of photos of Grandpa and some of the... Oh, there we go. If we can put it on the side screens as well, that'd be fantastic. But what we've got here, you can see a horse, a beautiful old Clydesdale horse here. And Grandpa told me his name was Diamond, and he spoke very fondly of Diamond, the horse. And what Diamond would do, you could see the guys there, and Diamond's carrying a large cart full of, I think this is onions. And what they would do at 3 a.m. in the morning, they'd load Diamond up with his cart out in the fields, bring it back to the sheds, and start loading up the trucks ready to go to market. If we can go to the next slide, please. So here's them loading up a truck. It's not the best photo, you can't really see, but on the front there you've got beetroots, and on the back you've got onions ready to go off to market. And if we put the next slide up as well, have we got another slide there? There we go. Now, they're actually cauliflowers. Now, I asked Grandpa about these. I said, Grandpa, how many cauliflowers could you actually fit in that truck like that? And he said, well, it depended on how big they were. And you see, the interesting thing, Grandpa often worked by the moon. Now, you think, hang on a minute, how does that happen? But if you realize the moon has got so much power, it causes the tides to come in and out, yeah? Well, Grandpa said, if you could time it that you harvested in a full moon, it meant your cauliflower, it was almost like pulled out of the ground. It was that big. So they used to try and harvest around full moon. And what he said was it depended. He said on that truck, you could fit around 800 to 900 cauliflowers, depending on when they harvested them in the time of moon. And I said, Grandpa, it doesn't look like you've got any ropes or tarp to kind of hold it in. And he said, no, we didn't need it. So they got it down to this fine art where it was almost like brickwork. They packed the cauliflowers in so tightly together that they could be flying down the road into the city and there weren't cauliflowers flying out the back. So there's the old truck, the Morris 1936 truck. And I think we might have one more photo there if you want to pop that one up as well. And there's the truck again with some hay coming back to fertilize the ground. So there's my grandpa at 3 a.m. in the morning, knowing how to work hard, plowing, sowing, tending, and weeding the fields. And in speaking to him this week, he said this to me, which I thought was profound, so I wrote it down. Grandpa said, working on the land was hard, but it brought a person closer to God, the creator and the provider. It was very rewarding and contributing to God's wonderful harvest and plan. How great is that? Now, the interesting thing about Grandpa is he worked hard. Now, farmers work hard, we've established that. But the interesting thing is that most of the hard work of a farmer actually goes unseen. Think about it. How many people are out in a field at 3 a.m.? Not many people. A lot of the hard work that farmers do is largely unseen. So I want to ask all of us a question tonight. How hard are we working on the unseen areas of our lives? If you've got your Bibles, how about we turn to Matthew chapter 6, shall we? Matthew chapter 6. And here we pick up partway through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And in this passage that we're going to read briefly tonight, he references three unseen aspects of our life. The first one being our giving and giving to the needy. The second one being our prayer life, that's unseen. And the third one being fasting. So Matthew chapter 6, let's pick it up from verse 1. Jesus says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give, not if you give, but when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. How's your giving life? The unseen. prayer, verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. How's your unseen prayer life? Just skip down to verse 16 with me, where Jesus talks about fasting. He starts by when, again, not if, but when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. In other words, do your hair, make yourself presentable, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Church, let's be Christians who work hard on the unseen aspects of our lives. To let you know, in a few weeks' time here at Bayside, we are kicking off our 40 days of prayer and fasting on Wednesday, the 5th of March. Can I encourage you? Get amongst it. Get involved with it. Do it. Work on the unseen aspects of your life, your prayer life, your fasting life. Join together with us in community, in unity as a church. March the 5th. You'll find out more information about that. But get involved. Get amongst it this year. I encourage you to. I believe as Christians, we are called to build an iceberg life rather than a skyscraper life. What do you mean by that, Jacob? Well, if you look at an iceberg, 80% of the iceberg is under the water unseen. Only around 20% is above the water and seen. Compare that to a skyscraper, where you've got roughly around 20 to 30% under the earth, unseen, the foundation, and roughly 80% seen. Now you see, Jesus built an iceberg life. Think about it. Jesus spent 30 years in anonymity and only 3 years in the public eye. And have a look at what he did in those 3 years. You see, Jesus, through the temptations and the trial after trial after trial that he went through, actually revealed more about the 80%, the unseen, than it did the 20%. You see, the unseen aspects involve your prayer life, your fasting life. It also involves things like your character. You can't see on the top your character, but it's in underneath. How's your character? It's about your integrity. How's your integrity in life? Jesus' integrity was incredible. How's your thought life, your thought processes? That's all part of this 80% unseen. And you see, we can learn from Jesus because we all go through trials in life where we have to draw from what's inside of us. And if we've got 80% underneath the surface unseen, that our character is rock solid, our integrity is rock solid, our prayer life is rock solid, or when the trials of life come, we're going to succeed well. Flip it. If we're a skyscraper, we've only got around 20% to draw from. You see, skyscrapers are all show on top. I believe we're called to not be all show in our life. Amen. We're called to have a foundation like Jesus. 80% unseen, 20% seen on top. Be like the farmer, working hard, unseen, out in the field, in all areas of our lives. Paul, in his second letter to the church of Thessalonica, reminded the church that when himself, and I think it was Silas and Timothy as well, were with them, that they too worked hard. And Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 in verse 10, Paul says, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule." And this is the rule. Paul says, "If a man will not work, he shall not eat." Who loves eating? I love eating. In fact, I'm sure many of you are actually thinking right now about what you're going to eat in a few moments' time when we finish this service. Are you getting hungry? I'm getting hungry. I'm always hungry. But I love eating. And you see, what our verse 6 that we're looking at tonight, it says, "The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops." Now, I understand that most of us here tonight won't have farms. But I do also know that there are a number of us who love working in our veggie patch outside, or in even just in our garden and doing a good hard day's work in the garden. And you see, when we do that, there's this great satisfaction and reward. And just for a moment, just go with me. This will make you even more hungry. But imagine working all day outside and you're just digging up some potatoes and you take these spuds inside, you put them in the oven and they start to get that nice crispy golden brown, and you put some melted butter in there. And whilst that's cooking, then you get the lemons freshly squeezed off the tree to make homemade lemonade. And you sit back at the end of the day and you're the first to enjoy the harvest of your hard work. It's a great feeling. It reminds me actually of our year 12s of last year, year 12s of 2013. You see, these year 12s did such an incredible job in their VCE last year. You see, the year 12s know what it's like to work hard for the year. And because of that, they are the first to receive a great harvest. And that harvest for them is first round offers into their university. It's great working hard, and then there's almost like this kickback of blessing into your own life. The year 12s are experiencing that, and good on them. The hard work, you get a kickback. And I'll finish with this tonight, that for us to succeed on God's team, I believe that we are called to work hard in our walk with God and in all aspects of our life. Working on the iceberg aspects, the unseen aspects of our lives, so that we too will receive a reward from our Heavenly Father, not just in this life, but also in the next. So church, can I encourage us all? Let's be like the farmer. Work hard in all areas of our life, especially in those unseen areas, and be ready to receive the blessings of the harvest. Amen? Amen. How about we pray? Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for the time that we have spent in your word tonight, Lord God. And Father, I really just pray right now that as you've revealed this attribute of hard work, Lord, I pray you challenge us to implement that into our lives, Lord. And I ask that you help us and give us the strength to work on those unseen areas of our lives. Lord, I pray that you help us establish our character in you, our integrity in you. Lord, be with us as we strengthen our prayer life and our fasting life and our giving life. Lord, I thank you for that we are not just hearers of your word, but we are also doers as well. And Lord, we choose to apply this principle to our lives afresh tonight in your name. And just whilst every head is bowed and eyes closed, just want to give opportunity for anyone tonight who, if you were to be honest with yourself, you don't have a relationship with God, that Jesus is not your Savior, he's not your Lord, but tonight is the night that you get your life right with God. It's so simple. It's just inviting Jesus into your life. And we as a church would love to do that right now with you and be a part of the start of this incredible journey of you and God. So if that's you tonight, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. Just slip up your hand so I can see it, and then you can pop your hand straight back down again. If there's anyone here at all tonight that you say, yep, tonight is the night, I want a relationship with you, God, just slip your hand up right now. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you that we are family here, brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I thank you that we know you. But Lord, I pray that if there is anyone who is struggling and doesn't know you yet, Lord, I thank you that in your presence and by your power tonight, that they have maybe stepped one step closer to coming into an amazing relationship with you. We lift them up, we pray for them in the precious name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Fantastic.